Languages through music. Languages through music. Languages through music. Languages through music.
Okay. So welcome everybody to the Languages Through Music Kinyarwanda Through Music special in collaboration with Beaux-Arts Afropolitan Forum. So really honored today to have special guest Makeda, who is a Rwandan Jamaican content creator and DJ based in Kigali. She's produced and presented several popular radio and television shows and is widely recognized as Rwanda's first female DJ. She's been covered by various media houses for her independent storytelling efforts, and in 2019, she featured as a judge on East Africa's Got Talent. So we're really, really happy to have you here, Makeda. Thank you so much for making time.
Thank you for inviting me.
It's so nice to have you. And you are joining us from LA?
Yes, I'm in LA at the moment.
Awesome. Missing Kigali?
Normally I'm in Kigali.
What do you miss the most when you're away?
About Kigali?
Yeah.
I would say probably just my house, you know, my dog, you know, just kind of chilling, especially now because we've been at home for a lot of 2020. And so I really got attached to my little abode, my garden outside, and you know, just the space and peace that I've created there. So that's probably what I miss the most.
Yeah, I think shaking our schedules after this is going to take a little time, a little adjusting.
Oh yeah, but I think a lot of things have changed permanently in terms of, you know, things happening online. There's going to be more people who are flexible to have their meetings online and do work online, which I think is really good. Because
yeah.
I was one of those people who was like, why do we have to have a meeting in person when we can just email?
Yeah, it's true. And some days at the end of, you know, all the Zoom meetings, you're like, wow, I was in 3 continents today. I spoke with 300 people.
Right?
Do that right? All the time.
That's before. Productivity.
Absolutely. Age of Aquarius. We're on some new tech flex.
Right?
So please tell us, which languages do you speak? Have you studied? Do you want to learn? Because
right.
you come from many places.
Yes. So I speak English and of course Patois, Jamaican Patois, mm-hmm. and French now. But I would say I'm maybe intermediate with French. I don't feel I'm fully fluent yet, but I'm working on it.
Okay.
I studied Spanish when I was in school in Jamaica, but I don't remember much of it, so I would definitely need to be refreshed there. And I'm working on Kinyarwanda and hopefully soon Swahili.
Okay, amazing. A lot.
Yeah. And it feels like it's not too much. It feels like it's not a lot because I live in Rwanda where everyone speaks like 100 languages perfectly.
Yeah.
But no, I'm proud of at least my progress where I can.
Yeah, we have to be. You know, one of the people I interviewed for this podcast, he is based in Kigali as well. Habineza Antoine. My guy speaks 26 languages. It's
amazing. I believe it.
Just mad. He's like, yeah, you know, Swahili and Zulu. Actually, Kinyarwanda has a lot in common with Zulu. And he just, like, just...
Yeah.
He really...
Yeah. He's my husband speaks, like, 6. And I'm always like, I'm so jealous of him.
And you are a big music person, DJing. What kind of music do you enjoy listening to when you're not DJing? When you're just home?
It really just depends on the mood. Like sometimes I really just want to discover new music, and then so I'll go online and I'll just type in like the weirdest descriptions and see what can come up from different places or from different people. But sometimes I just want to hear the music that makes me feel nostalgic, you know, depending on if I'm homesick or something, then I'll listen to like old reggae, or if I, you know, want to kind of get myself pumped up, then I'll listen to, you know, some house music or dancehall or hip hop. So It really just depends on the mood and the vibe.
It's such a great mood booster in these challenging times. I feel a blast of reggae in the morning, or Zouk, or instant mood lifter with coffee.
Oh yes, trust me.
Absolutely. And I'm really fascinated so how music helps us learn languages, but also how music and memory are connected. So a question I'd like to ask you is, what is your earliest musical memory?
I would say it's definitely my mom playing reggae. My mom really loved Dennis Brown, Barris Hammond, Bob Marley, you know, so she would play it often in the house, and I would be annoyed by it back then, but now the older that I am, it's like I'm playing those same songs, and they're the songs that make me feel so happy, and I'm like singing every single word because I've known them all since I was like a baby.
Yeah.
So I have to say those are like my earliest memories of just listening to music.
I remember seeing Barris Hammond and Sanchez in Brixton Academy in 2018. It was so amazing.
Barris is a performer.
So amazing. It was just...
That must have been so beautiful.
I think literally 90% of the Jamaican community in London was there.
Of course they were. Where else would they be? I'd be there if I was in town.
It was so great. It was so great. So as someone who comes from such mixed cultural heritage, how connected do you feel to Rwandan culture and music, language? For me, being half English, half Eritrean, and growing up in Barbados in different places, I didn't have as much Eritrean music and culture and language on hand as I would have liked looking back. And so getting to know the language, getting to read and write, that came later in life. And I feel like I'm still discovering the music. Now more as an adult than as a child. So for you, how did that work out with Rwandan music and culture?
Right. I mean, no, I would say the same. I really relate to that story. It's pretty much the same situation for me. I grew up in Jamaica and a bit in the States too. And, you know, I grew up with my Jamaican family. I didn't grow up with anyone from Rwanda, even though my dad is Rwandan. He wasn't around when I was growing up. So I only discovered Rwandan culture and language and everything about Rwanda really when I was much older, after I finished university.
Okay.
And that's when I just decided to go and visit the country.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to say my connection with Rwandan culture came with just discovering the country itself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I got there is when I really felt, you know, so excited about being there, and something, I don't know, just gripped me about it, you know, knowing that it's my heritage there and that's where I'm from. And you know, that's when I got really excited and passionate about telling stories about Rwanda, because I was just so inspired by all of the things that I was learning and feeling while I was there. But in terms of my connection to the music, I guess you can say that I relate to what you said then too. Like, it's not, I didn't have it all of my life, you know, so there is a little bit of a disconnect with Rwandan music for me, just because, like I said, I don't speak Kinyarwanda. You know, I can kind of get around with Kinyarwanda, but I'm not fluent by any means. Mm-hmm. And I don't have any, my connection to the language is still quite new. You know, mm-hmm. I met the language and the music and everything when I was an adult already.
Amazing.
So I like it and I can appreciate it, but I guess you could say that visceral connection, I'm still kind of growing with Rwandan music.
Mm-hmm. I think we're really lucky in many ways now with our access, you know, YouTube and Spotify.
Right,
and
yeah.
Like, yeah, I mean, which we didn't have when we were kids. So
trust
I think
me.
Now, yeah, as long as we have people to point us in the right direction, then I think there's so much connection that we can make, you know, online, as we're all discovering these days.
there's a lot of resources for that. And it's one of the reasons why I like to try and incorporate as much of, you know, not just East African music, but Rwandan music as I can when I'm, you know, DJing or doing things, especially for people who are not from the continent or who aren't from East Africa. Because I feel like, you know, it's one of those things. I never heard any East African music growing up, like at all. So now that African music is starting to kind of pop off a bit more, you know, we're hearing a lot of East African, West African music, Nigerian and South African music. I feel like now us from East Africa have the responsibility to be like, we're here too.
Yeah. We need to step up, represent.
Wait, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So when you DJ, what influences you in terms of selections, and how did you start DJing?
So I started kind of just, honestly, it was really organic. I kind of just tripped and fell into it. When I went to Rwanda, you know, I was there for a while and I was making new friends and we were going out a lot. You know, I was at that age of just going out all the time. And I was having a good time, but I wanted to hear the kind of music that I was used to, you know, the music that I used to party to in Jamaica and the kind of, you know, music that I really loved, and I wasn't hearing it. And so I decided to have a party and invite my friends and just play the music that I love, you know, dancehall music, some hip hop, R&B and stuff like that. Even though hip hop and R&B was played a lot in Rwanda, but at that time there wasn't, you know, much dance hall or anything like that happening. And so I just threw a party and it did really well. And so I started having other parties and people started inviting me to play at their houses. And I was like, what? So then I learned to mix and DJ and then it kind of just grew from there. And in terms of selection, you know, it really just kind of depends on the vibe, you know, where I'm playing or, you know, what I'm doing. And if I'm just playing a set for myself, then it really just depends on, like I was saying, you know, like, how do I feel right now? You know, am I trying to hype myself up? You know, am I trying to, you know, mellow out, or do I want to be emotional? Like, I'll have times when I'm like, you know what, I got something I need to let out. I want to cry right now. Mm-hmm. I'm going to play some sad music and I'm just going to let it mellow out, you know.
The medicinal.
Yeah, for sure. It's therapeutic.
Absolutely. Would you say that music has ever helped you learn a language?
Yes. And I think it's a really, really great way to do it. You know, with back before, when I was studying Spanish, music really helped me because I would want to learn all the lyrics so I could sing along, right? Yeah. And learning the lyrics, then I would learn what they mean. I mean, a lot of what I even remember of Spanish now are words and lyrics and phrases from songs that I can just use life. And it's the same with French. You know, I was listening to a lot of songs that I could kind of, you know, get the simple words, or I would get phrases. And then, you know, I ended up moving on to like hip hop songs, to where it's a bit more poetic, and that helped me in that regard, you know, understand the different meanings of words and slang words and, you know, just how, especially things like, you know, verlan are used. And
verlan, my gosh, yeah. The bane of any French student's existence.
Oh my god. But I'm telling you, hip hop really helped me with that. Like, listening to rappers, because I've heard songs where it's like half the song, there's not even one word that's like, you know, the regular way. So, you know, things like that, I feel like music is so beneficial for. And even, you know, I didn't mention it in the beginning, but I lived in Ethiopia for about 6 months and I was in the village.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of English speakers there. And I ended up speaking Amharic after not too long, you know, just so that I could get around. But
that's amazing. What were you doing in Ethiopia?
So my mom was there working on a project. And so I just didn't want her to go alone. So I said that I'd go with her. Just for a week or two, and then I ended up staying for like 6 months.
That is so cool.
That was the same time that I went to Rwanda. for the first time as well. It was on the same trip. And so, I ended up learning the language there, and music really helped with that as well. It's actually not that hard of a language. I was really intimidated at first, but it's the reading and the writing that's hard, but the speaking is not too bad. I think music is definitely huge in that regard. Huge.
Yeah, and Ethiopian music is great too. There's such
a lot of
heavy
fun.
Heavy hitters. Yeah, it's really. I really wonder what it would be like if instead of kind of 12 traditional years of language of school, language classes at school, if we were just taught through music and films and cultural stuff and intercultural exchanges. And I really wonder. I think we should all be able to graduate with 3 languages. Easy.
I know, right? I mean, some people say that's the only way to learn, right? Like immersion. I met so many people around the world who learned English through watching television and listening to music, and just because it's so accessible, So it's obvious, it does work. It's successful.
Yeah.
For sure, that would be amazing.
Yeah, and I'm curious because, learning Tigrinya later in life, when I got to London, I thought, well, this is such a big cosmopolitan city. It'll be easy for me to find classes, African language classes for adults. And it really wasn't at all. It was a struggle. It was a whole palaver. So now, there's more kind of online options. But did you find it easy when you got to Kigali to find lessons, to find tuition?
I found it easy. Actually, my first French class experience, I guess you could say. I mean, I did a beginner's class when I was in university, but it was very much bonjour, kind of thing. Yeah. Like it was like beginners. So I had forgotten that by the time I got to Kigali. And then when I started working at the radio at my first job, they had a partnership with Institut Process.
Mm-hmm.
And so I ended up going and getting free classes through them. But I have found that classes have not really helped me to learn the language, really.
Mm-hmm.
I just really struggled through the classes. The teachers didn't really speak English that well, so it was hard to get translations. And then, it was a little bit too slow for me because, I could get the vocabulary quickly, but the rest of... So I find that, the main things that helped me to learn French was just, watching movies, watching TV, listening to music, listening to my husband speaking with his friends, or, just kind of being around the language definitely is what helped way more than any class that I'd taken. I just signed up for another class it's a conversational class, so it's just speaking to a teacher to kind of help me to tighten up and become fluent, but otherwise the traditional classes really haven't helped me. I think I just didn't take the right ones, so maybe.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to find the kind of patchwork, the right kind of selection of all the things that can help us.
Right, with the different ways that everyone learns too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not always easy to know which is your best one. I think if you're coming to language learning new, it's always the most intimidating when it's the first one. But I think it's cool how even sometimes, when we don't understand the lyrics, there are still songs that we're just inexplicably drawn to, or artists that we love, even though we have no idea what they're saying. So I've had that in so many languages. And then you find out what they're saying. You're like, really? You had this whole other universe happening in your mind.
Right? Samba? That's me with Samba, by the way.
Yeah.
I love Samba. And I'm just like, they're all romantic songs. And I know some of them aren't.
Yeah,
that's my vibe with it.
It's so funny. Yeah, Brazilian Portuguese can make anything sound great. There's this one song by Elis Regina and Elza Soares, and they're just singing their backsides off. And you think, they're talking about some soaring love or I don't know what. And then they're singing about washing dishes and how they know this girl who washes the dishes really slow. And they just make it sound so great.
Voila. That's
exactly what I mean, man. It lets you,
but I like it. Like, I like to listen to songs that, you know, just give you a vibe. You don't necessarily understand it, because you can also just be free with it. You can create whatever you want to create with it. I would say, like, you know, in Rwanda with dancehall music, like, you know, around the world, everyone, a lot of people love dancehall and reggae, but I realized, like, how little people understand of what's being said in dancehall music. And people will be like dancing and, you know, trying to sing the lyrics, and I'm like, in like kids parties or like old people, and they're singing these lyrics or trying to, that are just so dirty and like sexual or like whatever, and I'm like, you guys don't even know. I'm not gonna take your joy, but you don't even know what you're singing right now.
Yeah, it's so funny because reggae is really something that's, you know, everywhere.
Yeah.
And I used to live in the Philippines, and there's a big reggae scene there. And in Thailand is quite, you know, a growing reggae scene. But sometimes, you know, you hear in the crowd someone shout something out to big up the DJ, but the patois kind of would get lost in translation. So they shout something like, Pamuklot!
Exactly.
Like,
okay.
Okay, you want to talk about it?
Cool.
You know, and this, my a really good friend of mine, he was teaching at UWE in Barbados. Mm-hmm. And I told him the story, and he asked me to share it with his students, and they were just all looking at me dumbfounded. They were just like, no. But yeah, that is a major lost in translation source.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
Who are some Rwandan artists that especially inspire you, or you like their music, or you like to play out when you DJ?
You know, there are different ones, you know, like there are the traditional singers that just sing these, like, you know, gorgeous songs that can almost sound almost like mystical and really take you away. There are a few like traditional performers like that, so I really like Masamba, and then there's a big singer called Cecile Kayebgwa that I really like, and then there's even younger artists coming up that are coming up in that same style. So there's one called Deo Munyakazi that I really like. He plays the traditional guitar called the Inanga that, you know, I just think is so beautiful. But
gorgeous.
There's also, like, you know, the people who are doing the party songs and stuff a lot now. So there's Bruce Melody that's huge. He has some big songs that are making some waves across the continent. That's really exciting. I mean, there's a lot happening in the music scene right now. It's really exciting
and super catchy. I think Iyadede chose a song, I think it was called Igare, by, I forget who did it, I just remember the artist's name,
but it
was so catchy. It was in my head literally for 2 days straight after the podcast. I just get it out of my head.
Super catchy.
Yes.
For sure, there are a lot of songs that'll do that to you, man.
I'm waiting for her new project. I can't wait. I love this Kenya Rwanda playlist. It's just I'm playing it all the time at home. I can't wait to share it.
You're gonna be speaking it soon
and add to it. I hope so. It doesn't sound like the easiest language in the world, I have to say.
It is hard.
When I was interviewing Antoine, he said that it was very similar to Zulu. I was like, I always thought Zulu was super hard, so that explains it.
Girl, there you go.
it's gonna be a lifetime school of improvement, I think.
It'll be gratifying.
Yeah, absolutely. When I'm 86, I'll be able to chat in Kinyarwanda, Tigrinya, Amharic,
everything. Anybody who shows up.
That's it. I'll be a Pan-African interpreter and translator one of these days.
Exactly. The dream.
Yeah. But you are a mega polymath, juggling so many different things with such joy and grace and openness on your various platforms. So are there any projects or plans or ideas you'd like to share with us for 2021? Are you being super cautious about 2021, like so many people I know who don't want to make any resolutions or plans? Or have you some things in mind that you can share?
Well, I did. I I can see why the people who are super cautious about it are super cautious about it, because, you know, I think a lot of us were excited about the prospects that 2020 had to bring, and then everybody just had to kind of sit at home, you know, and not do any of it. But I am really hopeful about this year, and I have a few projects that I'm working on. I'm not sure how much of it I can share yet, but a lot of just like, you know, content. I'm just really working on producing more, you know.
Yeah, it was so nice to see your online TED Talk. I would love to see more.
Thank you.
Where is the best place for people to follow you and keep up with what you're doing?
So I think Instagram and YouTube. I'm everywhere at Contact Makeda, though. So Contact Makeda on Instagram, on YouTube, and then on Twitter, I'm Contact_Makeda. Okay. And I post a lot about what I'm up to. So hopefully there'll be some nice little announcements coming up soon.
Yeah, cool. Well, we'll be there watching and supporting. And really, it's been so nice to online meet you and
likewise
learn about your story and what you're doing. And it's really great how you share your exploration of Rwanda and its culture online with such just humor, and it's engaging and it's educational. Like, it's really great following you and seeing what you're doing. So
thank you so much, that's
all I got. I can say murakoze chane, but next time I'll say something else too.
you can say urabeho, that's like bye.
Okay, all right, I got three words now, but after this ebook and stuff, I'll have at least 100. Well, that's
you got this, and the playlist, you got this.
Yeah, but really, thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your time in LA.
For sure,
we will keep in touch.
Let's do that. Have a good one.
Thank you so much, my dear. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
Languages to music.